Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, part two of three parts, October 28th, 1948.
I don't even know what. I don't
see them
together on the street. But it's the same girl.
With testimony like that, Mr. Keene, I don't think Jane Caldwell has a chance.
Those are the cases that appeal to me most, Lieutenant. The ones that seem to be what they are.
What they are? But I don't...
We'll get in touch with you when you're needed again, Miss Wilson. Thanks for coming in.
Very well, Lieutenant Parsons. But you're wasting your time continuing this investigation. You've got Howard's murderer in your hands already, and I hope she goes to the electric chair for what she's done.
So Lois Wilson was in love with Lisa. Looks that way to me, Mr. Keene. Are you really serious about investigating this case?
Of course. Why do you ask, Lieutenant Martin?
Well, I just hate to see you wasting your time. You're too good an investigator.
You're pretty certain you've got the guilty party right now, aren't you, Lieutenant?
In my opinion, Jane Caldwell hasn't got a chance in a million.
Well, that's a chance I'll take.
But why? What makes you think there's some hope for her?
I'm not sure, Lieutenant. But the worst thing that can happen to anyone is to be accused of a crime and convicted when they're innocent. As long as there's a shred of hope for the Caldwell girl, I'll devote every minute of my time to unearthing it.
Well, I certainly wish you luck, Mr. Keene. And I hope you win out. You know, if we didn't have such terrific evidence, I couldn't believe it about the girl.
She's impressed you that much?
Well, she seems to be sweet and completely unspoiled. Just hard to see her with a gun in her hand out for murder. Well, evidence is evidence, and my job is to base my case on facts, not sentiment.
I appreciate that, Lieutenant. Maybe I can supply you with a few additional facts myself. Excuse me.
Hello?
Lieutenant Martin?
Yes?
This is Mike Tracy speaking.
Oh, how are you, Mike?
I'm fine, Lieutenant. Is Mr. Keene there?
Yeah, just a minute.
Thanks, Lieutenant.
Hello?
Oh, Mr. Keene, I'm glad I was able to reach. I've got something important to tell you.
What is it, Mike?
Well, you remember you asked Irene Caldwell to put her address and phone number on a slip of paper?
Well?
She took a piece of paper from her handbag and wrote on the back of it. Well, after you left the office, I happened to notice the other side of the slip.
Yeah.
It was a department store receipt with Iris Caldwell's name and address on it. For something she bought over a week ago. And you know what it was, Mr. Keene?
What, Mike?
A red beret.
Just a moment, we'll return to Mr. Keene and the identical twins murder case. Meanwhile, if you want to be certain your breath is sweeter and your teeth are brighter after brushing, listen. Colonel's toothpaste contains a mouthwash action that instantly and unfailingly sweetens every case of unpleasing breath due to improper cleansing. Yes, Colonel's mouthwash action actually helps remove food particles between teeth where your toothbrush may fail to reach. That's why Colonel sweetens breath so effectively. At the same time, Colonel brightens teeth beautifully by removing ordinary yellow surface stains. So for sweeter breath, brighter teeth, get K-O-L-Y-N-O-S, Colonel toothpaste or tooth powder tonight. Remember, Colonel's mouthwash action instantly and unfailingly sweetens every case of unpleasing breath due to improper cleansing. Remember also that no toothpaste brightens teeth more beautifully than Colonel. To Mr. Keene and the identical twins murder case. Mr. Keene, the eminent private investigator, is in the midst of a baffling investigation involving the murder of Howard Latham, a handsome young man about town who was shot to death while dining in a downtown restaurant. Mike Clancy, Mr. Keene's friend and partner, has just discovered a new and startling clue. And as Mr. Keene returns hurriedly to his office,
this is the sales slip I told you about over the telephone, Mr. Keene. I've already called the department store, and they told me the red beret had been bought a little over a week ago.
That red beret was the only clue I had. It complicates things, I guess, Mike.
Oh, sure, I thought it'd make it clearer.
You mean you feel makes your theory even stronger?
Well, I said before, now, Mr. Keene, and I say it again. The girl who came here for help, Iris Caldwell, was putting on an act. She's the one who murdered Howard Latham, not her twin sister that they put in jail.
Mike, I've got a hunch. We know where Iris Caldwell bought her red ring. Now I'm going to find out where her sister Jane bought hers. With luck, it may lead us to where the killer bought the one she was wearing when she murdered Howard Latham. Jane Caldwell was in the fourth cell down the corridor, Mr. Keene. Oh, thanks, Lieutenant Martin. Incidentally, we've already got an indictment against her. She goes to trial in a couple of days, and I'll have to work fast. Have you got anything yet that might help the poor kid?
No, but I haven't given up.
Well, see you later, Mr. Keene.
All right, Lieutenant. Are you Jane Caldwell?
Yes.
My name is Keene. Has your sister Iris told you about me?
She said you were going to help me. I didn't think there was a soul left in the world who believed in my innocence outside of Iris.
You're sure you never saw Howard Latham in your life?
Oh, positive, Mr. Keene. Oh, I knew something about him, of course, because Iris had met him. She told me he was a charming man, but that she could never be serious about him. And that's all I knew about Howard
Latham.
Until they arrested me, he was murdered.
The police discovered you owned a red beret, similar to the one the killer was wearing.
Yes, Mr. Keene, I have one.
Where did you buy it?
In the newspaper on Madison Avenue in the 70s. It's called a hat mart. They specialize in expensive hats for women, like hundreds of other shops, you see.
Yes, that's the trouble, Jane. The city is full of hat shops for women. And I'll probably have to check every single one of them.
What? I know I'm causing you a great deal of trouble, Mr. Keene, but...
You're innocent. You're causing me no trouble at all, Jane. My business is looking for clues. I only want you to be patient and trust me. You see, I've got a check on virtually every woman who's bought a red beret in New York during the past 6 months. It won't be easy.
I realize that.
Remember this. You've got more than one person on your side. So keep your chin up and your fingers crossed. You take this list of hat shops, Mike, and I'll take this one. Check them all and get those names on paper.
Okay, Mr. Keene.
I know you think Cyrus Cole is guilty. And the police believe it's her sister Jane who is the murderer. But neither of them has been convicted yet. Until that happens, we've got to do everything in our power to discover the truth.
And I'm on my way, boss.
And so am I. I'm looking for a woman who resembles this photograph. Who bought a red beret in your shop sometime during the past few months. This is a criminal investigation. There's $500 in it if you find her.
Sorry, I don't recognize the face. But I'll check my files and see what I can find.
She was young and pretty, and she might have bought the beret sometime this summer. Can you help us in any way?
We don't even sell red berets, Mr. Clancy.
Mr. Keene, I've been waiting for you.
That's right.
I checked every store on the list, and it seems to me I talked with every woman who ever bought a red beret in New York, but I got nowhere, boss.
Did I? Once I thought I'd found something, a girl who bought a red beret about 6 weeks ago, who might have fitted the description. When I checked, I found she'd gone to California long before the murder occurred.
Oh, it looks hopeless to me, boss.
The only clue we had to work on.
Nothing develops on a phrase that one of those Caldwell girls is going to suffer. I'll put it like that. Hello?
Is this Mr. Keene?
Yes.
This is Mr. Crawford. My wife and I run the hat shop on 60th Street. You visited day before yesterday?
Oh, yes.
You offered 500 $500 reward if we could lead you to a girl who bought red berets, and we couldn't help you. But maybe I've got some information for you now.
What is it, Mr. Crawford?
An attractive young woman came in here this morning and asked to see a beret. She seemed to look something like that photograph you showed me.
Did you get her address?
I know, Mr. King, but she's coming back. I told her we didn't have a beret in stock, but we could get one for her. She'll be in for it at 3 this afternoon.
Good. It's 1:30 now. I'll be down in half an hour to give you some instructions. Thanks for calling, Mr. Crawford.
And not at all, Mr. King.
Come on, Mike.
You mean they'll find the girl, Mr. King?
I'm not certain yet. But maybe the hunch I had is paying off at last. In any case, we'll know within 2 hours.
Yes, now that I see the picture again, Mr. King, I'm almost sure. The girl came in looked exactly like that.
Then it was Iris Caldwell, Mr. King. It had to be either Iris or her sister Jane, and Jane is in jail right now for murder.
Oh, we'll see, Mike. Mr. Crawford, is there any place we can hide when this girl returns to the store? I want to see and hear her, but I don't want her to see us.
You can stand behind that curtain, Mr. King, that leads to the workroom. You won't be notified.
Now, one other thing. Tell her you haven't been able to get hold of the beret yet, but it's being shipped to you in the morning. Then say you'll deliver it to her home and get her address. That's important.
You don't want to put her under arrest right now, boss?
No, Mike. Once we have her address, we'll move fast. I want a chance to search her apartment first for conclusive proof.
I'll do exactly as you ask.
Now, there's one more point, Mr. Corson. Ask her to specify the color of the beret and suggest red.
Red.
I guess. Then let her leave the store. From that point on, I'll take over myself.
It's 3:30, Mr. King.
I hope she didn't decide to let it go, Mike. This is the last chance she's got. Mike.
Someone's entering the shop.
See her?
Mr. King, if I was calling with her.
Let's hear what she has to say.
Good afternoon.
Did you pick up that beret for me, Mr. Crawford?
Not yet, but the factory's sending me a shipment in the morning.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I thought you'd have it for me now.
But you'll only have to wait one day.
Now, it's time I'm leaving town tonight.
Talk, Mike.
I'll tell you what I can do. I'll make a special trip downtown to the factory myself and get your beret. What time were you going away?
I'm taking an 11 o'clock plane to Mexico City.
I'll visit your apartment by 7 tonight. What's the address, please?
Maybe I'd better let it go, Mr. Crawford.
But I put in a special order just for you.
Well, all right.
The address, please?
1119 Coney Avenue, apartment 1C.
And the name?
Bentley. Vivian Bentley.
She's using the name.
Not for sure, Mike.
Then I'll expect you around 7.
You can tell. By the way, what color beret do you prefer? Would you like something in red, perhaps?
I already have one in red. Bring me a blue one, Mr. Crawford.
Very good, Miss Bentley. And thank you.
Don't be late. I don't intend to wait.
You've gone, Mr. King.
Nice work, Mr. Crawford.
I think you've won the $500 reward. Mike, call Lieutenant Martin. Ask him to meet me immediately at 1119 Coley Avenue. Say we found a brand new clue to the Caldwell case. He may be in for the surprise of his life.
I came as soon as I got your message, Mr. King. What's up?
I think I found the girl who murdered Lathrop. Come on, she lives on the ground floor in this house.
That was Jane Colwell's twin sister, Iris.
Who told you that?
Mike Clancy, when he telephoned. He said the girl was using an alias.
Jane Colwell's sister, Iris, is in the hospital right now. She's been there for the past few days. She suffered a nervous breakdown worrying about Jane.
But then, Mr. King, who was the girl who came into the hot tub?
We'll find out very shortly. The apartment number is 1C. gun handle, Lieutenant Martin?
Sure. Let's go.
Who is it?
Telegram.
Hello?
One side, Miss Police Department.
What do you want?
Looks as if she just finished packing the suitcase, Lieutenant Martin. Let's have a look inside.
Don't touch that picture.
Let's have no nonsense, Miss Bentley. Stand aside now.
There's nothing in there.
Take a look at this, Lieutenant Martin.
Mr. Kane, it's a .45 caliber revolver.
Yes. It was a bullet from a .45 that killed Lathrop. And here's the red beret we were looking for.
We have all the evidence we need, Mr. Kane. And I can see how those witnesses made a mistake. Why, this girl looks enough like Jane Colwell to be her twin sister.
She is Jane Colwell's sister. And now this is too. Perhaps I should say half-sister.
How do you know that?
When children are born, Miss Bentley, there are birth records.